what can we learn from young people who are talking about racial injustice in their community? Well, you're listening to the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development podcast series. I'm Carrie Rabideau, an Extension educator. In this podcast, we'll hear from two youth who participated in 4-H programs this past summer that provided a safe space to discuss racial injustice. They're going to share with us how it changed the way they think about these issues and motivating them to continue the conversation. Joining me today are Catherine Nguyen, an Extension educator from Hennepin County, who's been instrumental in helping to develop and deliver many of these programs this summer, and two youth who are also Minnesota 4-H'ers, Hannah and Nalani. Thank you all for joining me today.
It's great to be here, Carrie. Thanks for having us.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie, for inviting us.
Thank you for being here. Catherine, will you start by giving us some background information on the programs that Hannah and Nalani participated in before we hear from them?
Absolutely. So in Hennepin County 4-H, we worked with Ramsey County 4-H to offer space for parents, volunteers, and young people to have a conversation about the events that have transpired since George Floyd's death. We offered three sessions, talking with kids about racial injustice, which was for parents and volunteers, an open dialogue for sixth grade and up, just to have open space about talking about police brutality, what they thought about the events leading up to where we are today, and just how they're feeling. And then one more session on Just Mercy, Assess and Digest, a chance for young people to watch this movie, which was available for free during the month of June to understand systemic racism. And then lastly, both of these youth, Hannah and Alani, participated in Let's Talk About Race, which is a 4-part series that engaged young people in conversations about race and racism during the month of August.
Thank you for that overview. Let's bring Hannah and Alani into the conversation now. Will you two tell us about yourselves? Why are you interested in learning more about these topics? And how did you get involved?
My name is Hannah, and I am in the eighth grade. But actually, I only got into the open dialogue because of my mom. She signed me up. After the first Zoom session, I really actually enjoyed learning about the Let's Talk About Race and the open dialogue about Just Mercy. I attended all the Zoom meetings and I actually got to learn more about it.
Hi, I'm Nalani and I'm a sophomore. Particularly, I wanted to expand more learning on racism in general and police brutality after the death of George Floyd and art in the Minneapolis area. I think it's really important for everybody to learn and know about.
Let's have you dig a little deeper into that, Nalani. What do you know now that you didn't know before attending these sessions?
So for the Let's Talk About Race series, I learned a lot of words that could be misused, and I got to know each of the rightful definition that you can use in a sentence or in a phrase, so it won't be interpreted in a different meaning. So like some of the words are like prejudice, microaggression, discrimination, and also the difference between equality and equity. I didn't know that. I thought they meant the same thing, you know, but I understand why people like are striving for equity.
Hannah, after learning more in depth about racial injustice, and I bet, you know, those terms were new to you as well, how has it changed your behavior or your way of thinking after participating?
Before, I did not know much about the racial injustice that is going on in society right now. And also, I didn't know how, like, any of the events were connected. So I didn't know how, like, the George Floyd killing and the protests were, like, any way connected to the racism and all the riots that were happening. After attending the Zoom sessions, I was more aware of what was going on and what racism is. And also, I was able to notice how much injustice there was in America, and I feel a lot more confident about this topic, and I'm able to recognize the injustice, and feel like I'll be able to, like, to teach others about it as well. And also, I was able to learn about what to do in a situation about race. So if race was ever in a situation with my friends or my family, I would know what to say.
I guess I can also add on to that, because in our family, we don't really talk about like these deep feelings or deep situations that are happening around the world or even in our community. Because like growing up, we were in the mindset of like, you have to become this and do this to become successful. and the problems around you, you have to ignore them because they will affect you, and how your life will turn out will be bad because they affect you. So I think that especially like they stereotype Black people as danger and like bad influence. So I think it's also really important that my family and also the community just gets out to know that these people are human beings too, and they deserve all the justice in the world.
Has it been hard to change and have those conversations?
I'm definitely trying to maybe bring it up because as youth, we don't have a voice in the family, you know, even though we do like provide everything and try to be supportive to our family as much as possible. We don't have that kind of connection and voice in the family because we're too young or we will never understand.
Sure. And I think a lot of young people feel that way. And that's part of the concept of these programs is to give you youth voice. Do you feel like you have a stronger voice now? And how are you using it?
Definitely. I've been trying to embrace it into my family more and also through my 4-H club. And I was also going to try doing it through Girl Scouts as well, because that's also a big platform. But maybe like hosting just a live video or something on social media, just so a bigger platform. And also our school has a new club that they formed. It's like a council to raise awareness for anti-Blackness. And I am also joining that. So hopefully I can embrace that into my school too.
How about you, Hannah?
I honestly feel a lot more confident than I did before I attended these Zoom sessions. And I also am hoping to be able to do some lessons to teach the youth in my 4-H club. Actually, me and Alani, and we're actually talking with the other youth leaders in our group to plan some lessons to talk about race in our 4-H club. And I also wanted to do some other programs that I'm in, like RCLC, Ramsey County Leaders Council, and much more.
Going from a program that mom signed me up for and said I should go to wow, learning a lot of, and then now both of you have really changed in your thinking about race and racism and injustice and how you want to share it with others is really, really interesting to hear about. Would you mind going a little deeper into the conversation about anti-Blackness in the Asian community? How has this changed the way you think about that and how you've been able to help others?
So I believe that the Asian American community, mostly related to me because I am Hmong Americans, and I think the older generations, like our grandparents, they don't really believe in racism, like because they basically suffered all the way here to America to give an equal opportunity for all their sons and daughters, all their children. And they don't want anything to ruin that. Like my parents and uncles and a little bit my older relatives, they may understand, but they were grown up in the household that you just have to become successful. You have to get married to another Hmong person. We're so held down on the model minority myth to live the American dream, uphold the work of a doctor or a scientist or computer scientist, especially women in my ethnicity. We are held back for being women's body. We're all facing the same thing. Even if people do have privilege, we'll face it like one way through another. So I think it's really important that people of the Hmong community and Asian community hear that life is different now. It's not how it used to be back then. And whatever you want to be, you can be.
I just want to add on to that as another person who identifies as Asian American from the Vietnamese community, even as someone a lot older than you, Nalani, I'm still facing a lot of discrimination within my community and talking about anti-Blackness and really getting at the root of it. And for my community, they think that, well, I suffered too. Why can't that be valued? It's the same thing. And trying to get them to understand, no, it's not the same thing.
My parents have always taught me to have good grades and to only be friends with certain people. Like, you should only be friends with Hmong people. You shouldn't be friends with Black people because they're going to be a bad influence on you. And honestly, they always tell me that you should just be as good as your sister, you know, like she has good grades and stuff like that.
How can you keep using your voice to change how we think about race and racism and really opening up the conversation to broaden our thinking and broaden our adult thinking about this issue. What are you doing to help us understand this?
It's a pretty big story that was happening on the news one day. This black guy was in his car. He got pulled over by cops and got out of his car. And I think he walked around his car. He tried to reach into his driver or passenger seat, and the police shot him because of that. And all I could remember hearing was my relative saying that, oh, he deserved it. He had a criminal record anyway. He held possession of a gun. Like, the police had the authority to shoot him because he didn't listen. He reached inside the passenger or driver's seat. I was really mad that they would think that way. And it's really rude in the Asian community to talk back to your elders. So when I listened to what my uncle was saying, I just asked him, why do you guys think that way? And he was like, well, because he walked around. He didn't listen to the cop. And I didn't know what else to say, but if I could go back in time, I would say there's no right for you to shoot a human being just because I understand that he was not listening to the cops and that made the cops like fearful, but they were the bigger person. They had the gun on him. Black guy was probably scared of the cop and he didn't deserve to die because he reached over the passenger or driver's seat. And I think it's very unjustful because of that. And when they said that, it just made me think that like after everything that we've been through together, like over the years, and that anti-racism is still like living today. So I think that was one example where if I could go back in time, I would change that.
Thank you for sharing that story, Nalani. You know, it really is hard to talk with elders and people who are older than you, because even in my community, you're not supposed to talk back or criticize or question them because it's a sign of disrespect. One thing I did like what you did was just asking a question of clarification, of understanding how their mind works, right? I do that with my mother all the time too. You know, and kind of using humor in a way too, to show that I'm not looking for a fight. I'm looking to understand, and trying to do that with family members, it will forever be a challenge and something we will have to keep fighting to slowly change their minds. It is possible, but it's a very slow change.
And there's also that challenge, isn't there, that we can't always change someone else? But I'm hearing through, especially through Hannah and Alani, that change in your voice, in that you're feeling like you can ask those questions, that you're able to think about the world in other ways and see other people's perspectives.
I think I could also add on to that. I think the question earlier, you said how we could raise our voice in the community. We've been looking at it looking at it in a different direction where just focus on our community. So maybe in educating people of our age and our siblings, I believe that educating the future generations will definitely make an impact, because I know now that Gen Z is what we call the kids now, that they're definitely rising up and they want justice for all. They want equality for everybody.
How do we continue to provide these opportunities for you to ask questions, to raise up your voices, and just to keep the conversation going and make change? What advice that you have for youth workers to continue this conversation with youth?
To provide more awareness to the youth in my community, some of this we talked about in the Let's Talk About Race. And me and Alani, we talked about using the usage of money in our community. So like using it for the important stuff. So racism is a really big topic right now. So using it on education to educate kids, and also using banners and signs around the streets and stuff to spread more awareness about the racial injustice in society. And we also have a Ramsey Library in our community, and we could just have meetings there that me and Alani could even set up to educate more kids. I think that'd be a really good idea.
Like Hannah mentioned earlier, we are also part of the Ramsey County Leaders Council in our county. And I would love to host like webinars or little talk shows or open discussion meetings that allow like kids at home, if they're bored or if they just want to come talk about it, express their opinions, and that this is always like an open and safe space to talk to.
Yeah, thank you for sharing all of those ideas. And you know, going back into our conversation when you guys first started talking about how the programs you participated really were a springboard for you to move these conversations forward and going back and understanding the terms, and that adults can help facilitate that conversation and increase that understanding for young people so that you have that basis of understanding to be able to continue these conversations and make change in your community, which the two of you obviously are and will continue to do.
I am so proud to hear Hannah and Alani really explain what they've learned and what they are looking forward to teach other kids their age and their 4-H clubs to their Girl Scouts to being in school. It really gives me hope that the younger generation is set up, at least for us youth workers, we try our best to set them up for success, to set them up to think differently than the generation after them.
I totally agree. And I want to thank the two of you for using your voice through this podcast today to share your ideas and to share what you have learned and what you hope to continue to do. Well, as we wrap up this conversation, I would like to encourage our listeners to go to our website at www.extension.umn.edu/youth. We have research-based information there and training opportunities for youth development professionals and volunteers. We also have a page on that website called Understanding and Confronting Racial Injustice that will provide more information for you, and I encourage you to go check out that site. And again, thank you for joining me in this podcast today.
Thank you for having us. It was amazing.
Thank you for this opportunity. It was a great thing to be here.
Thank you, Carrie, for having us.
And again, this is Carrie Rabideau from the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Please tune in again soon.